Port Game Day podcast is a weekly preview of Port Adelaide's AFL action. Make us part of your game day routine and tune in as you get ready to cheer on the power. Welcome back to the Port Game Day podcast, coming to you on the Port Fan Radio Network. I'm your host, John, and I'm stuck on 47 games in the Div 6 Reserves. Joining us as usual, Mum wants me to come up with a better intro for him. It's Friendly Andrew.
G'day, John. How's it going?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. And we're back on deck with all three of us. We've got the shadowy figure from the Adelaide hip-hop scene and former winner of KFC's Kicking for Chicken. G'day, Jimmy.
G'day, boys. Good to be with yous. And yeah, I almost didn't make it tonight. The old the wisdom teeth were giving me troubles, but I'm here, sedated. So let's go.
Absolutely. Well done under the duress. You're giving the people what they want. And we noted with interest at last week's game that there was the kicking for cash at was at halftime. There was they had the bins lined up. With the guy kicking from outside 50, and if you land the ball in the bin, in the goal square, you get $100,000. Is that correct, Andrew? Was that the?
I think so. Yeah.
Is that the deal? So, Jimmy, you've put it in nailed a drop punt into a inflatable KFC chicken bucket before. Maybe it's time to have a crack at the wheelie bin.
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, I've got a trusty left foot. I'd back myself in to do it maybe 1 in 100 times.
Yeah, well, fair enough. Yeah, I mean, it might not be your day, but it might be your moment. You know, if you just stick to your structures and, go in harder and stronger, maybe you'll come out with the 100K. Well, guys, let's talk Turkey. Following an eventful showdown, 42 loss. We travel over to the former Manuka Oval, which is now known as the University of New South Wales Canberra Oval. Go figure. And we're taking on the Greater Western Sydney Giants in Saturday Twilight Footy. The Giants bounce back from their round one loss, and they're beginning to find their footing back as the capturing their pre-season premiership favourite status. They're sitting fifth on the ladder, with two wins and a loss. They're trailing the fourth-ranked Power on percentage only. Change to the sides this week. See Jonathan Patton and Matthew Kennedy come into the GWS side, with Stevie J, Steve Johnson, and Ryan Griffin succumbing to injuries. Whereas the Power have opted for speed, with Jasper Pittard and Matthew White playing their first games for the season, with the suspended Paddy Ryder and omitted Brett Eddy making way. So obviously, guys, those changes have some pretty big significance as to the structure of the sides as they head into this one, and thus perhaps how the game will be played. So how do we see those changes and the impact on, I suppose, what we expect to see on Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, it's a reversion to last year's approach of going in a little bit short and trying to play for speed. Not sure I'm 100% of a fan of it, but I do notice tonight that Logan Austin and Aiden Johnson have been held out the Magpies games, apparently going to Canberra. So I look forward to Aiden Johnson coming in playing centre-half back.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that as well. I had that in my notes for Logan Austin being named first emergency, and obviously that would enable, someone like a Rory Lobb to be covered pretty easily, and Jacko can then go about his business in ruck. So, I mean, Logan Austin's a Canberra product as well, is he not? Or at least from the OCT, so that'd be good if he could get a game.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the same. I saw that on the team's name, it's first emergency, and I thought maybe he might come in. And as soon as you mentioned he sat out of the game tonight, I think that may be a likely move, and I think it would be a good move because they do have a lot of height down there, and we really need to cover Jacko if he's rucking, and with those tools, I'd like to see him come in and play.
Yeah, no, I mean, as we kind of said, with those players, Jasper Pittard and Matthew White, we are, I guess, opting for pace and perhaps going with a more mobile outfit over the over the ground, and perhaps with a bit of that forward pressure and pressure around the ball as like trying to gain a competitive advantage in that way, which I don't mind having a, I guess, what a distinct game plan based on your personnel and trying to base something around there. At least it's an ethos. Obviously, we like to see the big guys in there, and we like to see the matchups line up on paper. And, it's good to see we've got everyone covered at least for size. But I actually like, if you look at our mid-size and small-size players, we bat very deep this week. And the GWS have got a few injuries at the moment with Stevie J, Griffin, Canelio, Delidio, Whitfield and Mzungu all on the pine. So it's possible that we're trying to stretch them and maybe even beat them at their own game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to, talk about Austin playing like it's guaranteed, but I think the Matt White inclusion was a move to make us a bit quicker in the forward half. But you look at the back half, Austin would be a perfect matchup for a Rory Lobb. You know, we lose Jack Homsch, we replace him with Trangove in the back lines. Then we lose Paddy Ryder and place him with Trangove in the ruck. We're one tall down. So for him to come back in would be, in my opinion, the best way to go. And then in the forward half, we gain another runner in Matty White with obviously Brett Eddy coming out the team. So that makes sense. And if they bring in Austin, that would make sense as well.
I think the issue is, I agree that you go through the matchups and you do it sort of as if everyone plays one-on-one, and that's not really how the game's played these days. But we still seem, the way that the first 22 is picked, that we are one short in the back lines to just even cover them appropriately with Rory Lobb and Jonathan Patton, because I'm assuming that Jonas will go to Cameron as he has pretty typically.
Has he, from memory? I'm just trying to remember.
Tom Jones, definitely, yeah.
I would have thought Jack Homsch has played on him a fair bit when he's in the side, and I might be mistaken here, and sorry to butt in, but I reckon we've lined Jasper Pittard up against him previously as well. Like, I reckon Cameron is almost someone that you can play one of those 190-centimetre guys against.
Yeah, Tom Jones definitely. Maybe before Homsch came into the team, but he certainly, I certainly remember him following you around at points. But I guess what you've opened up is the conversation and the issue that we had last week is that it actually wasn't pack marking in the forward lines that we struggled with. It was the leading up and not playing close enough and not putting enough pressure on Walker and Lynch at critical parts of the game. So it wasn't necessarily these sort of pack marks or one out marks that killed us. It was something that you would anticipate someone like Tom Cleary or any of our other medium defenders should have been able to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing, wasn't it? We just fell down at the wrong times. We kind of mucked up certain contests and things like that.
Going back to that one-on-one stuff, I mean, we didn't really get caught out in that one-on-one last week. You're right, the lead-up is what done us. But we actually have won 25 out of our 68 defensive one-on-one contests, which is number one. So when we are getting caught out one-on-one, we're actually the best team in the competition. So it's an interesting fact.
Man, I mean, the defence has held up pretty well so far this year. I reckon Nathan Bassett's obviously got them playing pretty well, and it's that team defence aspect where we're trying to send multiple players to each contest. It's just... Yeah, I mean, we'll obviously talk about it throughout this podcast, but it's just mistakes at crucial moments that like other team quality teams will punish us for. And just last week, I mean, we've had a good start to the season. Let's not forget about that. The Crows were just able to make the most of their opportunities, and I guess in GWS you have a team that is able to do that as well. They've got a lot of quality on the park, notwithstanding the fact they're missing some good players as well. They're blessed with some serious depth. There's some very dangerous players on every line for them. I guess I think we've probably started speaking about it already, so we might delve into those matchups a bit more at this point in time. So I guess how do we see us covering their big forward line? Obviously they bring Jonathan Patton back into the side this week, and we've spoken about Jeremy Cameron. It's hard to say. We're speculating that Logan Austin might come in. Do we have those bigs covered, or is it the mediums and smalls that we're worried about for GWS?
Well, I mean, you know, you look at the matchups, and again, we don't really get caught out in those one-on-ones too often, but the likely matchup, if Austin wasn't to play, would be, I guess someone's going to have to stand taller against Lobb, so you're looking at maybe a Cleary. But I'd like Cleary to go to Patton and Tommy Jonas to take Jeremy Cameron. If Austin comes in, that would be the likely matchup for Lobb. But if he doesn't, then we're looking at, you know, a shuffle around, and then maybe asking a Dan Houston or a Jasper Pittard to play against Jeremy Cameron. So the smalls are probably where we have to worry about, and obviously, yeah, the whole forward line's looking pretty dangerous on paper.
Yeah, I agree with those matchups. I don't think it's an obvious answer. I mean, the one thing I do think about is we played Hamish Hartlett on McGovern last week. To pretty good success, I thought. No, I didn't think McGovern had any sort of influence on the game, and obviously ended up on the pine, and we survived that matchup. But the option, the position we're left with is it's sort of a choice between Rory Lobb and Jonathan Patton if we go in as named without Logan Austin coming in. And I'd probably prefer a natural defender to go to Rory Lobb and then put someone on Jonathan Patton, because he just doesn't seem quite as dangerous as Rory Lobb could be working up and down the ground. So,
and Rory Lobb is I believe he was the number one contested marker in AFL last year.
Yep.
So,
yeah, but saying that, he didn't really get off the leash when we played him at Adelaide Oval last time we played him. I think he was pretty ineffective when you look at his stats. He definitely got off the leash when we played him in Canberra the first game. And, yeah, he was a beast, taking massive, massive marks, splitting packs and looking like a force.
But I reckon that game that he didn't get off, and I'm just looking up the trying to find the website to confirm it. But I reckon by the time we played them again, Matty Lobby was back in the team, and Jackson Trengove, I reckon, might have dropped back into defence to play on him in that game. And I reckon Trengove's a great, he's actually a really good matchup for Rory Lobb. Both pretty sort of gangly, gets his body into him, makes it really hard. I think that's what Rory Lobb really doesn't, he doesn't sort of particularly like, he doesn't mind engaging in body contact himself, but he doesn't really like someone putting a body on him. But we're obviously going to be down that option this time. So whilst he didn't have an impact last time, I think it's because we had a different matchup.
Yeah, but from memory, we didn't have Jack Homsch and Tom Jonas last game. I think we were rolling with Trengove, maybe Austin, and I can't remember now. But yeah, it's an interesting setup this time around. Cleary, yeah, Cleary. So, but yeah, it's just, I think the smalls are just as dangerous as well, and Toby Green has been rated as a top two small forward in the competition. So he actually got off the leash against the Crows just in that first quarter, wasn't able to convert his opportunity. So he's definitely a danger.
Yeah, and he's just like he's an interesting player, because he still looks like he's 15 years old, and yeah, he's got a decent physique, but he's got that kind of childlike face, and he uses his body well in contests against those like the small defender matchups that he gets, and he just kicks goals for fun, really. He's a seriously dangerous player, and someone obviously that we need to clamp down on. So, I mean, do we have a direct matchup for him? We're surprised. You know, Darcy Byrne-Jones is an option, I suppose, and Jonas will probably be occupied elsewhere after, you know, he played on a smaller player last week. So interesting to see how they look to cover that one. As I've said, I think I've mentioned to this point, like I'm a bit of a rap or a believer in you can play your medium tall against Jeremy Cameron, and maybe you play a medium against Toby Green, so you can perhaps get some aerial dominance against him, like a Dan Houston possibly.
Yeah, I don't mind that much. I prefer DBJ to have first crack. I think we can safely say he's our number one lockdown small defender, and give him a shot. You know, he's that type of player that needs a challenge, and when he has a challenge, can back himself in and really take the game by the scruff of the neck, and he's really been one of the shining lights down there, and hopefully he can get the job done on the weekend.
Yeah, it interests me though, because like Green's a pretty similar player to Eddie Betts, and they weren't comfortable with giving him the matchup last week. You got Devin Smith to worry about as well, who's a bit of a handful, so he'll probably end up playing one of those two guys. Okay, so up forward for us, obviously we go in without Brett Eddie this week. He's probably had two poor games out of his three, and hasn't quite clicked for him yet at AFL level. So Justin Westhoff has been named in the forward line, so it'll be interesting to see how much time he actually spends up there. But obviously, I think small medium forwards, you bring in Matthew White and you're complimenting Chad Wingard, Carl Amon, Aaron Young, and these guys. And we've got a pretty like intimidating kind of small forward outfit that GWS will have to deal with.
Yeah, I think I agree that Brett Eddie's played two bad games. The other thing that I would say is, I mean, he's hardly got near it, and when he has, he's not really played like a key forward. And whilst he's occupying a tall defender, I guess you've either got the choice of playing an out-of-form tall just to have a bloke run around there for 55 or 60% of the game time, whatever he's playing, or you try and make some sort of advantage out of it. And I think that's basically where we've come to. I think the only disappointing thing there is what I mentioned to you at the game last week, John, which is, I think, the only way he's going to – I think he's really struggling with the pace of AFL league football. So out of the pre-season and into the real stuff, he just hasn't seemed to be able to get away from his defender. Brett Eddie, all of his opportunities seem to be with a defender right hanging off him. So we're just not getting the value out of his spot. And so I don't have any qualms with the coaches going in a different direction.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the times he did get off the chain, he did create some opportunities with that involvement in the first quarter, getting it over to Impey, and then kicked a goal in the last. But yeah, in between that, he was rarely sighted, which is disappointing. But at the end of the day, I think we're a bit worried about their pace along the ground, and we absolutely tore it up against us in Canberra last year, and I think they're just a bit paranoid about that happening again. So replacing him with a speedy player like Matty White. But I just don't know what sort of form he's in. What sort of nick's he in? He hasn't played a game in 2 years. I mean, is it going to take him a half a footy to get up to pace with it, Matthew White? And I guess by that time, it could be over. And it just, it's a bit of a worry. And that fact that we got beat in the contest and contested footy last week, I would have thought we would have tried to sew up that contested inside game with maybe bringing in an Attlee or an Archie. Instead, you know, Amon keep their spot, Sam Gray keeps his spot, and we bring in another outside player. So they obviously back in those inside mids to bounce back against the Giants.
Yeah, I guess most people are expecting White not to play mostly on that that half odd flank, but it's hard to argue with the critique of Carl Amon and Sam Gray. I think they can count themselves incredibly lucky that they weren't on the chopping block either. Particularly Carl Amon, he's been quiet and doesn't get a whole lot of time on the field. So yeah, I think there's a couple of guys there that have probably got their last opportunity this week to produce.
So do you think losing the contested footy last week was a concern, or is that just a week where we just underestimated the Crows mids and weren't able to match it with them for long enough? Do you back us in this week to bounce back and match with the Giants, or do you think it's a problem?
I don't see it as a huge problem. We won the first 2 weeks in contested possession. We did get beaten against the Crows. I mean, my perspective there was that we seem to allow the Crows to have extra numbers around the ball, and I don't know whether that was by design or by outworking. It seemed to be by design because we seemed to want to keep our spare number behind the ball and not pushed up at the contest. And what I felt like the Crows did was one at three weight of numbers around the ball, as opposed to anything particularly sort of with individual players. So it'll just be interesting to see how that plays out. I don't think you can react after 1 week, given that we've won.
Yeah, but look, we don't have a winning ruck this week, and we rely on a winning ruckman to get, you know, our fair share of hitouts to advantage. With a losing ruck, we needed, in my opinion, another inside player, and it just worries me because the Giants are obviously so good in their hitouts to advantage. They've got the speed, they've got the contested types. For mine, I would have brought in another contested player and dropped one of those outsiders. But instead, we bring in outside player and Matt White, kept Amon, and, you know, we just got to back in, you know, the inside mids. But we got absolutely smashed on the outside and inside against them last year.
Yeah, it seemed to me like where we fell down against the Crows in the showdown, and like I think the ins kind of potentially speak to this, is that we just stopped moving, and like you could tell in the second quarter the guys were pretty knackered, and our kind of ball movement just completely fell to pieces because we couldn't move the ball effectively from half back because the players weren't providing any lead up movement. So you'd imagine a smaller, like what I'm expecting to see from our team this week is a lot more movement up the field, creating options, and maybe some run through the middle with handball and so forth. I think that we've got the personnel that we've got is, that's probably the way that we're looking to play this week.
Yeah, I thought you hit on a good point there. I thought the reason that we lost control of the game wasn't necessarily because we lost control of the midfield, even though we did. It was more the fact that we just completely started to panic in the back lines, and the midfield options became static, and we didn't slow the ball down. We didn't just go, hang on a sec, let's just chip it around for a while and take the heat out of the game. We were trying to play a pretty frenetic style.
But without much thought, I mean, we went back to back to the defensive war as we did last year. I mean, I guess we're kind of hitting on the midfield battle here a bit. And James, you spoke about Jackson Trengove going in this week. He kind of takes the mantle back as the first ruck with Paddy Ryder on the pine for 1 week. He obviously had a bit of a stint for about half of last season playing the ruck. And Shane Mumford's kind of probably the most physical ruckman in the AFL. It's a clash of styles with Jackson Trengove, who's a bit more limber. So, I mean, we might feel the pinch of the no third man up rule a bit this week for the first time, really. With you know, probably Trengove looking to get ragdolled a bit by Mumford. So, I mean, the chop out will come from Dixon and Westhoff. So, we're right. This is a big concern going into this week.
Yeah, definitely, and we are a good team with Ryder in there as far as our centre bounce inside 50. When we do win those centre bounces, we are the best team as far as getting it inside 50. And we do score a lot of goals from stoppage as well. So take out a rider, I don't know how we're going to sort of continue that good form. And we do rely on scoring a lot of goals from stoppage. And it's just a worry with Trango. I know he does a lot of good stuff when the ball hits the ground, but we have been really good with Ryder in there, and I just struggle to see how we can continue that good form, especially at stoppage.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And the most disappointing part is that we lose Ryder for something that we could control, and just poor discipline, really. And our network colleague Macca had some thoughts to share about that one. But yeah, I mean, I guess where there's that kind of difference in playing style and physicality, I mean, as you said, Jimmy, like he does some good work on the ground, and he'll have to pick up a bit of slack in that regard this week. And I don't know if you guys saw that a couple of weeks ago where Geelong actually pulled their ruckman in a couple of instances against North Melbourne. So they basically just and this is in general play, just let the North Melbourne ruck kind of try and tap and send the ruckman to the fall of the ball. So if you can kind of sneak attack them with that once in a while, or Trango just stays down, that gives us an extra number perhaps around the ball.
I just think we shouldn't be unaccustomed to playing with Trango. Obviously, we rucked to him for a good portion of last year. And it fundamentally just comes down to the inside midfielders coming with a strong mindset, make it a bit of a scrap, go hard at the goal, the ball goes sensibly, don't throw all of our numbers in at the loose ball, keep our structure around it, but go hard when it's your turn and work from there. I just don't think it should be something that we should necessarily fear.
Well, we've averaged 7 goals a game from stoppage so far this year. So we're creating 7 goals a game from a stoppage. And that this game, you know, with Trangove and Dixon's been really good. And if he could potentially create some opportunities when he's in there, that's only going to be a bonus. So can you see us scoring 7 goals this week from stoppage?
Well, if we play smart, like we've got the players to do it. Both like the forwards who would attend a ball up in the forward line, and the midfielders. Like you look at GWS. I know I cut you off there, Andrew. Like GWS got Shiel, Callum Ward, Scully, and Josh Kelly, but not much outside of that. Like, there's a couple of lesser lights in there in like the second year academy players. I think we bat far deeper than them, and you throw in like a Pow Pepper. Like we've actually got some players that, as far as like the on ground midfielders, I realise, you know, we were probably playing to a losing ruckman, but we've got the quality in the midfield, and I would hope that we dominate around stoppages.
I just don't. Whilst it's that goals from clearance or goals from stoppage is an interesting stat, and obviously if we're leading the league, we're doing something well. But it's not sort of like the Brendan Lade to Sean Burgoyne running into an open goal. I don't remember too many of those. And so I think it speaks more to the quality of how well our inside midfielders played, particularly in the first 2 weeks. Like Ollie Wines, like he creates opportunities for himself. Brad Ebert, Sam Pepper, Boak when he goes in there, Robbie Gray had a purple patch last week around the stoppages as well. So I don't think it's necessary reliant on Ryder putting it on a plate to them. And I guess last week I thought to see the future a little bit. I didn't think Ryder produced anything last week that was any different to what I would expect Trangove. I thought he was really disappointing in his placement of his taps when he did get his hand to the ball, and he dominated the hitouts, but we didn't see any benefit from that. So I tend to put more play on how those on how the midfielders work together and together with the Ruttman to see that success.
On the flip side, the Giants are the number one team for hitouts to advantage, and they get a 30% rate in that department, and they're able to score on 28% of their stoppage, which is second. So we might be the best team, but they're the second best team as far as scoring from stoppage. And they also have the number one ruckman with hitouts to advantage. So,
I mean, are we in a position this year at three games into the year? Like, is the sample size too small to read into anything out? Because that 30% hitout to advantage, I think, is like the hitout to advantage stat is quite is normally significantly lower than that over the sort of AFL average. It may be that we're still early in the season, and some of these trends will need to play themselves a bit more.
Well, let's hope they revert to the mean this week. And we mentioned Travis Burke there, and he actually becomes the longest serving AFL Port Adelaide captain this week, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
What a champion!
Absolutely. Well, I mean, a couple of got names we haven't actually mentioned for GWS are Heath Shaw, Zach Williams, and Nathan Wilson. I know we touched on kind of the inside 50 action, but I mean, the GWS get a lot of their rebound from those players. So what can we do potentially to stifle those guys? I think that one of those things that goes a bit under the radar, I think Sam Gray did a bit of a job on Rory Laird last week. So do we have to put any, we don't have any Angus Mumfries this week, so do we have to put a bit of work into one or two of those guys?
Oh, for sure. And, you know, Jarman Impey's tackling is important. Sam Gray has to earn his spot, keep tackling hard, keep creating turnovers. We just got to make him turn it over. I mean, when we get it in quick, we look dangerous. And that small fleet in particular need to produce with pressure acts and tackling and creating stoppages and stop them getting it out and running it down, because we saw last week what happens when we score a point. You know, the opposition kick a goal and it's a 12-point turnaround, and we just can't let that happen this week, and it really hurts us. So it's up to those small forwards in particular to really put pressure on the ball carriers and make them kick a kick under pressure, and if they start getting off the leash, they're very dangerous off half back. I don't know who's going to play that Angus Mumfries role, because he's done it better than anyone in the past, and especially getting under Heath Shaw's skin. I remember him playing against him in the Collingwood final in 2013. He's really got a knack of getting under his skin and getting in his head. So maybe Aaron Young plays that role this week. I don't know. Who's that antagonised type we've got? I don't think there is someone like that in the team anymore. So it just depends. We can't let him get off the leash, because he's an all-Australian type player when he's playing at his peak.
Antagonism is the critical thing. I think it's the having someone on him that makes him accountable and makes him earn his touches. And I know that watching one of the videos from the club during the week, Brendan Lade sort of said that they sent Aaron Young to Brody Smith at halftime, and they were really pleased with the job that he did, despite the fact he was a bit limited with his shoulder. He really shut him down, so I'd back Youngie in for a role like that.
I mean, on Heath Shaw, like, he is good for a 50-metre penalty, or, you know, if you can kind of ruffle his feathers. So, you know, maybe Youngie should take a leaf from Sam Powell-Pepper and give him a bum tap or something after
remember those two
after kicking a goal on him.
Two goals he gave away in 2013 final for Collingwood. Mumfries, it's perfect. Like, just get in his head, do something stupid, and we kick two goals in a second. It was fantastic.
Yeah, more of that this week, let's hope. Well, guys, I think we've spoken to most of the the field, if you like. We haven't done any deep dives on, say, the interchange bench, but that's fine. We'll wrap it up with our six pointers, and as usual, folks, if you don't listen in regularly, this is where we make some predictions about how the game's going to unfold. You can keep an eye on it, and So, best on ground by Super Coach points, Jimmy.
Ollie Wines.
Brad Ebert.
Yes, two guys in very fine form, and Ollie Wines leading the AFL Coaches Association Award, is it, at this point in time?
Yeah.
Yeah, the only award that matters, isn't it?
Yes, it's one of the only awards that matter.
What about the advertised Merv Agnes medal? That's pretty important.
That is the medal of medals. Okay, leading goal kicker, Andrew, who are you taking?
I'm going to go with Robbie Gray.
Not bad, not bad. I'll take Chad Wingard.
Yes, let's hope that we have a few multiple goal kickers this week. I'm calling this the Michael Pettigrew Memorial Challenge.
Oh, Jesus.
Shane Mumford, over under 36 hit-outs.
I'll go first. Over.
I'll go second. Can I go over as well? There's absolutely no chance he gets under 36 hit-outs.
I just wanted to give Pettigrew a shout out, but I realised that under's probably set a bit low. I mean, who else could we pick? The Nathan Cracker challenge? 47? Is he 47?
He only had
48?
he had 33 last week against the North Melbourne Ruckman, so you never know.
Okay, how familiar are you guys with the University of New South Wales Canberra Oval and its capacity?
Very not.
Andrew, well, on that note, give us a crack at the crowd figure over in nation's
Six
capital.
and a half thousand.
6.5. Does that include cars on the hill? No, I'll go, yeah, 7.5.
Yeah, I mean, bloody hell! How many times do they play footy in Canberra this year? Like, get along, public servants and diplomats. Go and check out the footy. Go and see the Port Adelaide Football Club established in 1870. And speaking of the Port Adelaide Football Club, give us your margin and tip for this week's matchup, Jimmy. Why don't you kick this one off?
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough to see us winning. So I'm gonna have to take Port by 9 points.
Very good.
I'm gonna go with the GWS by 17 points.
Okay. I a bit of heart out of last week. Obviously, we didn't get the result that we wanted, but I think we're beginning to show, and I'm starting to get back to the point where I think we're a genuine shot to win every game. That said, I'm taking GWS by 25 points. But if we, I think, and I don't think you could say this last couple of years, I think we're going to give every team a fright this year, and I wouldn't be surprised if we walk away with the points. I think we're one of the things that came out was it Brad Ebert during the week? Well, it might have been Jackson Chengrove talking about how they were really dirty about 2015 and 16, and they're putting it, they want to bring the pride back to, this playing outfit, because they really dropped the ball over the last couple of years, and I think they're living up to that. We're still not a, we still haven't perfectly cleaned everything up, and we saw that last week. You spoke about those 12-point turnarounds. I think we had more of those last week than in living memory in a particular game. But I think when we play, to our potential, we can beat anyone, and that includes the premiership favourites at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're starting to get back some self-belief and gain a little bit of respect back from the competition and the general football public, which has been pleasing. But it's still very early in the season. We know what happens when we start getting ahead of ourselves. So again, we've got to back ourselves in and like bring that mentality like it's round one, like it's we're playing out of our skins. We have to bring it every week. We can't just take the foot off the gas and expect things to happen. And we've got to make things happen. And this is an opportunity to get 4 points. And we just can't let ourselves down. We took the foot off the gas so many times in the last couple of years. And we get blown out. And look, it's one step forward, two steps back. And this year, we just can't afford to do that. And I have faith that if we play the right brand of footy and back ourselves in, play as a team, Port Adelaide can do anything, mate. And I truly believe this team and this squad has got the potential to do good things, great things even. So just play that Port Adelaide footy and we can do it, I believe.
Thanks, Charles.
Andrew, do you have a inspirational? I mean, Jimmy and I, we're trying to pump the boys up here. What have you got for us?
You don't score until you score.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for that. That is not the culmination of this podcast that we were looking for. But no, good podcast, guys. We've definitely talked about football for approximately 45 minutes. So, looking forward to this weekend of footy. It's a good weekend to have a bit of downtime, spend some time with friends and family, and watching footy. There's footy all across the weekend. So let's enjoy it, and most particularly, let's hope the Power grab a win. So, folks, you'll be able to hear the reviews from the Port Fam Radio Network after the game in the coming days. So keep an eye out for those. And as always, if you're enjoying our work, the number one way to support us, aside from listening to us, is to give us a nice review on iTunes. So if you can drop us 5 stars and some kind words, that is hugely appreciated. So spread the word that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And hit us up on the message boards, on the Facebooks, on the Twitters, and just say hello. I just want to add one thing. If anyone's listening out there that's having any mental health problems, any issues like that, don't be afraid to speak to someone. Life's too short to bottle up your emotions, and people are there to listen. So just ask. If you need help, just ask, and people will be there for you.
Very well said, James. It's something that impacts everyone in varying different ways, and everyone knows someone that's going through a tough trot. So, yeah, absolutely.
Bloody oath.
All right, guys. Thanks for chipping in this weekend, guys, and let's enjoy the game on the weekend.
Go the Power!
Down Ports.
Go the Power.